This is Radio 201. I'm Angelo Fernando. Thank you for joining me. It's October 5th. This week, it's a good week to talk about social media. And I'm not talking about whether we are spending too much time bragging on Facebook or doom scrolling on TikTok. I've said my piece about this in other places for about a decade. But this week is in fact a good week to talk about Facebook because the scrutiny is on Facebook. That's Facebook, the company that owns Instagram and WhatsApp. It has 2.8 billion users. That's about the population of China and India combined. And it has become the poster child of hate speech and disinformation. We know this because of documents brought forward by whistleblower and former employee Frances Haugen and the documents that appeared in the Wall Street Journal last week. During her disclosure to Congress, she talked about something called civic integrity, an unusual term, I think. So in this podcast, I like to focus on what that means. I'll leave the commentary on the rest of what she said to the experts who are more capable than I am. Now, a bit of backstory as to why this topic is important to me. I joined Facebook in 2007 and actually quit Facebook 2.5 years ago in mid-2019. I had seen way too much of the ugly underbelly of this company by reading about the algorithms that were behind it. And I was actually so disgusted that I thought, okay, enough of this. I'm going to quit it. You see, Facebook was a company that I once even promoted. That's right, during a consulting phase, that was before I got into teaching, and that was around 2010, I used to advise companies on how best to use Facebook and other social media apps to connect with customers, to integrate the platform, for example, into other broader communication and PR and marketing strategy. Some of us who worked in marketing noticed how marketing communication was going to be overshadowed by social media, and everyone was all excited. Twitter was new, Instagram was not even around. But my expectations of social media proved wrong. I once thought, and at that time, I believed that social media was here to humanize our communication. And in fact, my book's subtitle was about how social media would come in and make us human 1.0 in the web 2.0 world. How wrong was I? You might think it's a bit strong to ask people to get off Facebook. I could give you a lot of reasons, but I think this is best vindicated by what Frances Haugen has to say. Here, take a listen.
During my time at Facebook, first working as the lead product manager for civic misinformation and later on counter-espionage, I saw Facebook repeatedly encounter conflicts between its own profits and our safety. Facebook consistently resolved these conflicts in favor of its own profits. The result has been more division, more harm, more lies, more threats, and more combat. In some cases, this dangerous online talk has led to actual violence that harms and even kills people. This is not simply a matter of certain social media users being angry or unstable, or about one side being radicalized against the other. It is about Facebook choosing to grow at all costs, becoming an almost trillion-dollar company by buying its profits with our safety.
Now, in my class in the computer lab, we talk about digital citizenship, which is more or less our civic duty when we are online. Now, corporations and companies also practice this form of civic duty and digital citizenship. In fact, they enshrine it in their mission statements and their core values, and they often state their commitment to being good, quote-unquote, corporate citizens. If you want to hear what Facebook says in its mission statement, part of it says, they want to give people the power to build community and bring the world closer together. Quite admirable. Now, I must say Facebook did have good intentions when it started out. And more recently, it set up a group dedicated to this civic integrity and misinformation, as you heard Haugen say. And that team did make recommendations. But the sad part of this whole story is that instead of drawing the world and bringing it closer together, it was in fact tearing societies apart. Again, listen to what Frances Haugen has to say.
So, you know, you have your phone. You might see only 100 pieces of content if you sit and scroll off for, you know, 5 minutes. And one of the consequences of how Facebook is picking out that content today is that it is optimizing for content that gets engagement, a reaction. But its own research is showing that content that is hateful, that is divisive, that is polarizing, It's easier to inspire people to anger than it is to other emotions.
We did know some of this. We knew it was a thing in 2018. I remember when Myanmar was being affected by hate speech, political activists were using Facebook to promote ethnic division. Facebook knew about it and did nothing. I know this too because in Sri Lanka around this time, hate speech was being promoted and Facebook, again, did nothing. So there is a long track record. What's surprising is that people are still using Facebook. In class, we talk about issues like this, and I like to condense some of my thoughts to 5 or 6 areas. And this is probably what I'm going to talk about in class this week. First of all, social media, we must understand, is not the best or the only place to stay informed, no matter what anyone would tell you. Second, software algorithms used by these social media platforms are designed to get us to react. For example, memes and videos and news, because these are those pieces of information that turn into interaction, shares and likes and subscribes, and this makes profit for the social media company. Point number 3, we have to recognize that there's an earthquake going on and it's coming through our phones. It's affecting not just what we think and how we think, but it's affecting our mental states as well, and even our emotions. Obviously, we can control the damage if we turn the device off. That seems like a simple thing enough, if only people would do that. Number 4 is that Facebook isn't the only company that needs to come with a warning label. There are so many other companies like this. TikTok and Instagram, for example, and even YouTube are proving to be toxic in some areas. And who knows what's coming down the line next. Point number 5. We all want social engagement, don't we? We all want interactions and connections. I get that. But we don't need technology for this. Point number 6, and this is the final point that sometimes doesn't get enough emphasis, and that is, we are never forced to use many of these apps. And in the end, before we ask companies to be accountable, or before we blame the app, we must take responsibility for how we use the apps. I think I've said enough, so on that note, thank you again for listening to Radio 201. I'm your host, Angelo Fernando.